Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every once in a while, we get the opportunity to talk to some really special people. None more special than our next guest. Former Major League player, Royals television broadcaster, advocate for many. Rex Hudler joins us on the show today. Hud, how are you doing today?
C-Dot, what a question, man. Are you kidding? In a beautiful place in Arizona here. Ballpark's nice. Get to go to the ball. You know, after watching the news, I made a comment to my partner Rhino the other night on a broadcast about how when you go to different cities, one day, 2 days later, you're in another city, you wake up. You know, and I like to turn the news on. And just see what's going on in each part of the world of the country, and it's interesting, C-Dot, especially the way things have been going with the Royals not getting the kind of wins that they want. When I turn on the news and watch all the stuff that's going on in the world, it makes me thankful for my job. It makes me thankful to go to the ballpark and talk about baseball. And I did the same thing when I was a player. That took my mind away from the troubles that I was having and going, wow, looking at somebody else's problems, they're way more than mine. And that's kind of what you do now when you're in the state you're in.
Right now we're joined by Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler. Hud, yesterday Rob and I got the opportunity to see the sequel to Top Gun. Are you a big Top Gun guy?
Oh, for sure. How was it?
It was phenomenal. I loved it. I would imagine, I mean, you grew up in the 80s, you know, but I wasn't sure. We don't really talk movies a whole lot. I wasn't sure if you were a Top Gun guy or not.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, I loved it. And still, hey, and I'll never forget the flight that I got to go on with the Blue Angels in Southern California. That was a trip. I mean, going on one of those F-18 Hornets, it's like being on a roller coaster with no rails. It was a freakish experience. I'll never do it again. But, man, we took up off that airport, right off of that concrete runway, and just went straight up. I mean, just pulled it straight up. And I'm whooping and whooping and whoo-ha-ha. How much fun it was, you know. And I'm sitting in the back of the pilot. He has a mirror, like a rear-view mirror. He could see me back there. And then, you know, everything was going good. I was having fun until we're going along. And then he flips the thing upside down, and we're flying upside down. Then he flips it back over again. And, man, all of a sudden, I got quiet. And my pilot ahead of me is going, hey, Wonder Dog, how you doing, man? And I was kind of going, oh, man, I don't know about that one. That kind of threw me off a little bit. And then he pulled 7 G's. Going over the airport and going back to turn around to land, and that's when I had to reach for the puke bag. They had these bags on the side like tissues, and man, I opened up that puke bag and just filled it full. We landed, and then there was a crowd of people along the runway, and I proudly held my puke bag up, and the people were raising their hands and clapping. You know, it was a surreal experience. And when I got off of that Hornet, that F-18 Hornet, man, I was staggered. It's like I just went through three rounds with Mike Tyson. I mean, it was amazing what that took out of my body. So I'm a huge fan.
We were talking about Tom Cruise a lot yesterday as Rob and I were getting ready to see the movie. Of all the people that I know, you would probably be the only person who has met Tom Cruise before.
No, I have not. And you know what? I'd love to. I'm just like anybody else. When I see somebody, out and about. I get it. I get tickled. And then when people look at me, you know, like there was a kid yesterday with a Royals cap at the ballpark, and he was singing in the choir. There was a high school choir. They were going to sing the anthem, and they were practicing during batting practice. And I was walking by, and the kid just freaked out. He goes, "Can I get a selfie, hon? I want a selfie." And it made me feel like I was somebody, but really, I'm nobody. Come on.
Hud, you're somebody. I mean, that probably happens to you all the time. You're walking around, you're at the grocery store, and then somebody wants to take a selfie with you. Hud, I know you and I have a bunch of pictures together, but if I randomly met you, I'd want to take a picture with Rex Hudler.
C-Dot, you're the best. I love coming on with you. And you know what, C-Dot? Going to the ballpark to work is a beautiful thing. And, you know, sure, as a player, there was more pressure. There was more pressure to perform, more pressure to get wins. And as a broadcaster, you know, I feel like I'm a part of the group, even though I'm not. But I still, you know, I care about this team. And so when I move forward and I get to go to the ballpark, I carry myself the same way I did when I played. When I was going bad and I was hitting 250 or 220 or whatever, not a good number, and our team was scuffling, I made a point to keep my head up. And when I got to the ballpark and realized that I'm blessed to be able to go here, I'm going to make a difference in my team today. And so when you carry your head up and you're looking around, that body language, when you're going bad, looks good. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to, like I leave my problems in the car when I get to the K, even now as a broadcaster, just like all the fans. And they leave their problems in the car, and they come out to the ballpark, and you never know what we're going to see in the grand game. And you keep pushing forward. You keep pushing. You can't give up. This game is so difficult and can drive you crazy. So you have to control the mental side of the game if you can. If you have control of that. Surround yourself with people that are a good support system for you, positive people. You know, I mean, there was some times when I'd call my mom for a little support, and she would say, "Son, you'd be better off swinging a boat oar than that bat that some of those pitches you're swinging at. You know, come on, huh? Let's go. You got to shake yourself." You know, and so that happens. That's part of it, even from your closest people. But still, you kind of move past it, you laugh it off, and you look for the next challenge. And that's exactly what our Royals are doing here. No one's given up. It's early in the season. They've had a couple of tough losses back-to-back. But this is a resilient bunch. They're young. Heck, let's continue to go watch these guys and you know, enjoy their talent and just hope that they can get a few wins here on the road.
Right now, we're talking to Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler here for a couple of more minutes. Hud, you played in American League cities and National League cities. This is the first year that they've eliminated the DH and they have a universal DH. As someone who played in both leagues, how do you like it? Are you a fan of having a universal DH in both leagues?
I'm a fan because it keeps the pitchers healthy. These pitchers, you know, their job is so hard to throw a baseball, 17-inch plate. You got to be able to hit your corners, so there's a lot of focus that goes into that. And then for a hitter, you have to really focus on hitting. Now, there's not too many Shohei Ohtanis out there. Matter of fact, there's only one. That's how rare that is for a guy to be that good in both. But you know, I remember Yordano Ventura, the great Yordano. We were playing a game in Philadelphia. And he gets on the bases, and he's on first base, ground ball to the second baseman. Second baseman comes in to tag him, and he tries to elude the tag, and bam, he twists his ankle. Didn't break it, but, man, he was done. He missed a couple of starts, and we're like, man, really? Just because he's on the bases. That's another thing. Trying to hit the ball, then running the bases. Man, save your pitchers. You pay them a lot of money. They're such a big part of your game that night. It's sorry to see them go down. So I'm kind of happy from that aspect.
That is our Royals television broadcaster, Rex Hudler, joining us today live from Phoenix, Arizona, as the Royals set to take on the Diamondbacks later today. Hud, always great talking to you, man.
C-Dot, hey, thanks for giving me a little time. Hey, and let's continue to, you know, keep our head up and move forward and accept the challenges and go ahead and take it to your opponent. I can't wait to see it tonight.
Absolutely. That's Rex Hudler joining us on the show today. Always cool to catch up with Hud. Certainly got to keep your head up when discussing these Kansas City Royals. It has been a tough early part to the season. Coming up, one of the least popular NFL players over the last couple of years did something that might be the ultimate crime. I'll explain more coming up in a bit, but there's some rumors circulating the wagons. The NBA is planning on expansion, according to a rumor. The two cities that they have pegged, Seattle, Washington, and Las Vegas, are the two cities that are at the top of the NBA's list for expansion. We knew this, right? I love Kansas City with all my heart. The NBA is not expanding to Kansas City. Seattle's one of the 15 largest cities in the country. Las Vegas is the entertainment capital of the world. You know what? The NBA doesn't need more markets like Kansas City. They've got enough. They can barely support the ones they got now. You see a lot of free agents going to Sacramento? Is Memphis getting a lot of free agents? If this is true regarding the NBA, that their media rights deal is up coming up in 2 years, and that the NBA is planning on expanding into new markets, these are the two cities to pick. Add both of those teams to the Western Conference, and move Memphis and New Orleans to the East. This is easy. Or Minnesota. You can pick it, doesn't matter. Move Minnesota and Memphis to the East. You've got three teams that make the most sense to move from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference if you're going to add those two teams over to the West.
I know people wanted Kansas City. Does Kansas City have an owner that wants the NBA? That's the million-dollar question.
I don't know if Kansas City, the city, wants the NBA.
That's fair. But do they have a local billionaire I'm unaware of who's a secret Hoops fan?
Don't.
No. There's a reason the Sprint Center, the T-Mobile Center, has one jersey
hung. It's
still
the Sprint Center.
Whatever it is. Garth Brooks' jersey hangs because people love him, and billionaires and millionaires go spin to watch nine of his shows in a box. They don't go spin to go watch nine NBA games a year. We knew this wasn't ever happening.
Kansas City wants an NBA team the way most people want an Apple Watch. Like, it sounds really nice to have. You don't need an Apple Watch. You're probably not going to buy an Apple Watch either. Some people love their Apple Watch. You don't want one or need one. You're fine. All right, coming up, there was a story today about one of the least popular NFL players in recent memory doing something that is unspeakable, unfathomable. I'll tell you who and what. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
A bird's not an animal. What's a bird?
It's a bird.
Yes, it is an animal.
Is it, or is it considered a mammal? It's not a mammal, is it?
On 610 Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you've been listening to the show, you might remember when we talked about Juliana Zobrist, who is one of my least favorite people in the world. I want to tell you about the male version of Juliana Zobrist, because we're equal opportunity here on this show. That person is Jay Cutler. Now, listen to this story regarding Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, Rob, went on vacation with his kids, his best friend, his best friend's wife, and their kids. Makes sense. Let's just do one big family trip. Our families are really close. Let's just go on a family trip, you know? I'm friends with your family. You're friends with my family. Our kids are all friends. We can really make this a big thing. But Jay Cutler had ulterior motives. Rob, he was being nasty behind the scenes. The husband and Jay Cutler are good friends and also neighbors. Their kids are all friends. But while on the trip, Jay Cutler was secretly hooking up with the man's wife. Another source alleges that this has been happening for quite some time, and they recently told his ex-wife about it. The friend reached out to the ex-wife, and that's how she found out. She just wants to distance herself from this situation. This is nasty behavior from Jay Cutler. This whole time, you've been over to my house, eating, having beers, watching the game. You would come over on an NFL Sunday. I thought you were my friend. I thought you were my pal. I invited you into my home. Little did I know, you was playing two-hand touch with my wife. I had no clue. Never picked up on it. Jay Cutler is sick. You know how you just can realize, you just get an aura about somebody and it's just off. A lot of times kids will let you know. Have you ever been around somebody and your kids just get scared around them for no reason? They haven't really done anything, but like this person might reach down and ask your kid for a five, but your kid won't give them a five. Your kid knows evil is around. Normally, your dog's really friendly to everybody. Your dog doesn't like this person for some reason. You don't know why. He never acts that way because the dog lets you know when evil lurks. Jay Cutler's like, hey, we should take the whole family to Branson. You're like, oh, man, that'd be great. Little did you know while you were asleep, Jay Cutler was trying to QB sneak into your wife's bed. Jay Cutler is sick. You should go to jail for this. This should be a crime. What happens if that man finds out and then physically assaults Jay Cutler? That man probably going to jail, isn't he? You can sneak and do this. You can befriend this man. He had you over to his house grilling up steaks, lamb chops and whatnot. You was out here running the power option with his wife. Sick. I always knew there was something off about Jay Cutler. We've known it since he was at Vanderbilt. We knew it with his time with the Broncos or the Bears. I've always known there was something evil about Jay Cutler. This is one of the worst things you can do. Slap me, punch me, spit in my face. You invited me to Cabo so you could sleep with my wife behind my back. The kid's in the other room. This is some dirty behavior from Jay Cutler, man. Jay Cutler moves very high up my list of least favorite human beings, Rob. This is sick.
I mean, it's bad. I was looking this up. There was a rumor, I don't know if it ever substantiated, that after he and his wife, Kristen Cavallari, split up, that he supposedly was dating one of her friends immediately after the breakup. Jay Cutler just does everything wrong in the dating world. All the things. He married up. He was a Vanderbilt quarterback who ended up being an NFL quarterback. That happens to no one. That's basically the one time it's ever happened. And you know what he did? He then married a reality star, an attractive one. And from that moment on, he has screwed it up at every step of the way. Jay Cutler.
This is sick, bro. I'm serious. This is sick. I hate Jay Cutler. I never liked Jay Cutler before, but I could never. Remember when people always, like, Jay Cutler's got a punchable face. Now we know. Sick. You befriended this man. It's one thing to do it where you and her just sneak off And let's say that, you know, you just checking the credit card statements. You go online, you're online checking. You start asking some questions about some charges that you're a little confused about. And they've been just sneaking off. You guys literally came up with this family vacation idea so you guys could frolic around. I don't know who this man is. His identity is unknown, but thoughts and prayers to this man.
His
wife out here playing two-hand touch.
Just despicable behavior.
Out here running a two-minute drill.
I mean, how's it even
Jay
work?
Jay Cutler was never that good at the two-minute drill when he was a quarterback.
They're out there. They're on vacation. They're enjoying their lives and the kids, and everyone's about to go down to the beach, and he's like, oh, I got a tummy ache. And she also has a tummy ache, and they stick back. No one thought something was amiss. No one thought something was a little foul. No one smelled any BS for that behavior.
That's definitely how it went. It was like, I'm kind of tired. I got to go to bed early. But, baby, it's 8:30. I don't know. I'm just tired. I'm kind of jet lagged. I'm going to go to bed early. Then at 9 o'clock, Jay Cutler's tired, too. You sitting there thinking, hold on, what are we going to do here? I don't got nobody to drink with. The kids are going to bed. You guys are going to bed. I'm just sitting here poolside drinking by myself. Then you start hearing some suspicious sounds coming from the other room. And you go investigate. And that's when you find out. Jay Cutler, sick, is what he is. He's sick. In more important news, George Kittle was on the Pro Football Talk podcast earlier today, and he was showing some great respect to one Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce, 6 seasons in a row, 1,000 yards. I'm pretty sure he has the most receiving yards over any wide receiver skill position in the last 6 years. And he gets paid half of what a wide receiver makes, which just boggles my mind. And so, I mean, to me, like Travis Kelce, he's been doing it for so long and it's such a high level and he doesn't have an off game. Like, I think he has one bad game a year and it's just because he's getting triple teamed. So like, he's a player I look at, and like when he gets a ball in his hands, he's a monster. And
we don't have to get too far into it. Rob probably wants to trade Travis Kelce for a third round pick because, you know, picks are far more valuable than having great players on your team. One advantage the Chiefs have had over the last 3 to 4 years is they are getting wide receiver one production at really wide receiver 19 prices. Like Travis Kelce should be paid like he's DeAndre Hopkins. He should be paid like he's Devontae Adams. He should be paid like one of the 5 elite pass catchers in the National Football League. We're talking big time money here. He should be getting paid like he's Julio Jones. But you're getting him on that tight end contract. You're getting him at $15, $16, $17 million a year when he very easily could have been getting $25, $26. DeAndre Hopkins got $27.5 million to play wide receiver. It's been an advantage. I do think that Kelce is going to end up being, after Gronk, you know how every generation kind of has that player that they look up to. I think Kelce's going to be that and probably already is that for that next generation. You know, there's going to become that next 3 or 4 tight ends that really push the league forward the same way that Kelce was. Like after the Gronk class, you had Kelce, you had Zach Ertz, you had those guys, and Kelce probably looked at Gronk as, hey, this is who I can be. Look at how he's used. I could do this. Kelce did it. Push the position forward. And now you're looking at somebody like Darren Waller. And there's Kyle Pitts is another player. Kyle Pitts should be looking at it. Hey, I think I could be Travis Kelce. Not outside the realm of possibility. Certainly given the year that he just had last year as one of the best rookies in the National Football League. But George Kittle's right. Technically, Travis Kelce has been underpaid when you factor in his value to the team. George Kittle went on to talk about the pay discrepancy between tight ends and wide receivers.
I would say that every NFL team in the last that's won a Super Bowl or been in the Super Bowl for like the last 5 years is that an all-pro tight end a part of the team. So I feel like it's not tight ends not just like a cog in the wheel. It's an important position that can really add to your offense or diminish it.
I think the big problem when it comes to tight end, at least in this conversation, is there's just not enough great ones. Like, think about wide receiver. Like, if we made a list of who you think the top 25 wide receivers are in the league, wide receiver, like, 15 to 25 is really good. Like, you guys might have, like, T. Higgins at 21. T. Higgins has played three seasons in the league, had 1,000 yards in both of them, and can be a legit number one on just about any team in the league. He might be the 21st best receiver in the league. Rob, there's probably, what, five good tight ends in the league? In terms of pass-catching tight ends, guys that you think can go out there and have 1,000 yards, guys that are real difference makers, who are those guys right now? It's Kelce, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller.
Kittle. Kittle's one of them.
Yeah, Kittle's certainly in there. He's probably hurt right now, just knowing him.
I mean, he had to walk to and from his couch for that podcast.
You got the Cowboys tight end, Dalton Schultz. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. And then you got Mike Gesicki. There's not that many great tight ends in the league.
You don't have Pat Freiermuth in this list?
I don't know if he's in the same level as Kelce, but he's a good tight end.
CJ Uzama. I think the list is deep. Now, the elite, I think it's similar to receiver, but you're right. The problem is you can put three receivers on the field at some time. You can't, as much as Chiefs fans want to put three tight ends on the field at the same time, you can't really. But I think there's more great pass-catching options at tight end now than ever before. Like, we can go through the divisions. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, that guy can play. Like, Hunter Henry could be a 1,000-yard guy for the Patriots. It's not like he's
also
tight
probably
end.
Hurt right now, too.
Like, definitely.
he's probably hurt, too.
No doubt he's hurt. But he's probably, what, tight end number 12 in the NFL? I mean, George Kittle's wrong about the Super Bowl part, but he's right about tight ends are underpaid for what they do for teams.
I just think when you mention a guy like CJ Uzama, who I think's a really fine player, I mean, he's the Bengals' sixth offensive option, and he's probably an 800-yard player. And he's probably the seventh, eighth best tight end in the league. The seventh, eighth wide receiver in the league is Michael Thomas. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the difference between play a tight end and play a wide receiver in the league. So coming up on the other side, we'll get back to talking about the Kansas City Royals. And Vern was on Fesco in the morning. And this might be the hottest take, the most inflammatory thing I've ever heard Vern say about the Royals. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to Carrington Harrison.
We're not talking about Kansas on this show.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Earlier today, Vern was on Fesco in the morning, and he said something that really grabbed my attention. Vern is normally a mild manner, very reasoned, rationed. I like talking baseball with Vern. Listen to what he said earlier today on Fesco in the morning regarding your Kansas City Royals.
Andrew Benintendi, Hunter Dozier, Whit Merrifield, Brad Keller, Scott Barlow, Michael A. Taylor. Those seven names should be on the block, and it sounds drastic, but you look at the foundation that J.J., Dayton, John Sherman, that they'll be able to build on moving forward. It's not too shabby. Honestly, it's better than where they were to start 2018 or 2019. You're going to have a rotation with a 25-year-old Daniel Lynch, 25-year-old Brady Singer, two guys that you believe could be maybe not number ones, but number two and number three in a championship rotation, and then an offense built around Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, Vinny Pasquantino, Kyle Isbell. It's a pretty solid foundation. You got middle-of-the-lineup bats, and you got top-of-the-rotation arms. It sounds drastic when I say gut it, but there's no reason with savvy trades. There's no reason why you can't turn it around.
Okay. Now, I don't want to put words into Vern's mouth. We can have Vern on the show and he can speak for himself. But if you are using terms like gut the roster, starting over, ability to turn the roster over, is it a fair question to ask, should the people in charge of putting that roster together also be in charge of gutting the roster? Now, the University of Missouri was in the same situation just a few months ago with its basketball team. I don't think DeConzo Martin's a bad coach. He's fine. You're probably not going to win a championship with DeConzo Martin. You're probably not going to win your conference with DeConzo Martin, but I would never come on here and say that I think DeConzo Martin is a bad basketball coach. He's fine. But this past year for Missouri was really bad. And I think there came a point, hey, we allowed you to assemble this roster. It obviously didn't work. Can we trust you to now go right back in the transfer portal and flip this roster around again? We know the answer that Missouri made. They gave Konzo Martin $6 million to go find something else to do with his life. Now, again, I'm not trying to put words into Josh Vernier's mouth. But if we think that they should gut the roster, can you allow the people that put this current roster together to be in charge of fixing it? Because gutting this roster to me sounds like we have wasted the last 5 years. When the Royals had that final send-off, Hosmer, Kane, Moose, Escobar, everybody was there. You knew that was the curtain call. That was the end of the concert. Now they were going to turn things over. And they have been in that process now for 5 seasons. If we are halfway through that rebuild, or maybe even further, and now we're saying, hey, I mean, it's kind of time for us to make a reset, a restart, then these people can't be in charge of it then. It's time to really gut the roster. It's time to really start new, start fresh, start from the beginning. Not just start with the beginning at Carlos Santana. Not just start at the beginning with Adalberto Mondesi. How about the people that have continued to rely on Adalberto Mondesi to be a 2-4 hitter on this team without ever finding an alternative or a second option? Am I off in that thought, in that belief? That if the Royals are going to sell us on the, hey, we got this one wrong. Hey, our bad. It happens. We misevaluated this thing. It's time to start over and reset the clock. Maybe we need new people resetting the clock.
Everyone Vern mentioned in that cut, Benintendi, Hunter Dozier, Michael A. Taylor, Scott Barlow, whomever he mentioned, Whit Merrifield, they were all guys that are being discussed as being sold as part of a gutting on the roster that the regime in charge of selling them brought them in. You're telling me the person that was in charge that said Hunter Dozier deserves an extension, we're going to buy out his arbitration years, we're going to give him a nice contract, is now in charge of turning around and trying to find value for Hunter Dozier? The same guy that sold me on Michael A. Taylor and then brought him back because he's a gold glove caliber center fielder is now out there trying to sell Michael A. Taylor? It doesn't make any sense. You made the Missouri comparison, and it's a good one. It reminds me of Shane Zinger was the AD at KU. He did a bad job. He hired Charlie Weiss. Horrible hire. He then fired Charlie Weiss and hired David Beatty. And there was talk that he's going to fire David Beatty and bring in a third football coach.
You can't get a...
You can't get a third.
You don't get three.
You don't get three. You screwed up twice. Goodbye. Good day, sir. It's not those levels of screw-ups with the Royals organization, but you can't say we're rebuilding and then halfway through be like, you know what? This rebuild failed. You don't get three rebuilds, which what the Royals did. They rebuilt once, and they won the World Series. Rebuilt twice, and now we're looking at it going, eh, time to rebuild again. You don't get three. No team in baseball is giving their GM three rebuilds. None. Someone's got to get fired. And if we're going to gut the roster and you're going to see the Royals on the bottom ticker of ESPN, MLB Network, whatever your choice of trade deadline watch is, and you see Royals send player X to other team, if they're actually doing that, then this offseason we're going to have a serious conversation of the power structure because it can't be in charge.
Does this count as a rebuild because they haven't built anything? Now, maybe we just haven't seen it through enough and this conversation is premature. It's possible. But the first rebuild took a long time. It took 8 years, 9 years. But we eventually got to see the fruit of it. In 13, they had a winning record. They went to the World Series in 2014. They won the World Series in 2015. All right, we had to dismantle it. We broke it down. We're now in year five of that, and they're the worst team in the American League. What are we setting their over-under at it next year? 74.5, 75.5? So we could potentially be back in this same place? When I hear terms like gut the roster and it won't be that long to turn things around or turn the roster over, do you trust the people in charge to be the ones to do that? The people that built this roster, that to your point, paid Hunter Dozier, brought in Michael A. Taylor, signed Carlos Santana, do we trust them to find the next Carlos Santana or what we believe Carlos Santana to be?
Here's the other part of this, because Vern said in that cut, if they do that, if they gut the roster and they'll have a nice little nest egg, for lack of a better term, to build as a foundation, to start the rebuild because it'd be better now than in 2018. We're about to finish year four of the rebuilds in 2018. And it looks like year five or six is when you can first start seeing dividends. So if it takes 6 years to build from nothing to hope you're good again, you're going to reset the clock and now what? Add 3 years to the equation? You don't just get to keep resetting the shot clock and saying, well, we have to rebuild again and now we're in a better spot for this rebuild than the last rebuild. Stop rebuilding at a certain point and just build. Just have some brick and mortar. They don't have any of that. Bobby Witt's the closest thing they have to it. Brady Singer's the closest thing they have to it. And those guys currently have flaws in their game. They don't have, me and you argued a lot about the draft, about brick and mortar versus pillar guys. The Royals have neither, none. And the people in charge are now saying we got to restart to get more of both. That doesn't seem like a good system.
Coming up at the top of the hour, a brand new edition of the Carrington Hypothetical Button Game. It's been a while since we played the Hypothetical Button Game. I think we have a good one for you today. There are certain signs to let us know that we are reaching a content void. I'm seeing stories like best shape of their life. I read one earlier today about Justin Herbert, and I'm thinking, well, he's 24 years old. How are you not in the best shape of your life? I was reading another story about Mac Jones. I'm thinking the exact same thing. Like, why would Mac Jones not be in great shape this offseason? But this lets me know that we are reaching a content void of things to talk about and discuss. Another thing on the we have nothing to talk about is what can we do about the Pro Bowl? But this time it comes from a pretty reputable source in Ian Rappaport.
Everybody really likes the skills challenge. And I mean, so do I. I think it's like really fun to watch. So we might see some of that. I think a 7-on-7 is possible. Better question for me is like, what are the linemen going to do? I mentioned, not that anyone cares about my opinion, I mentioned just miking them up and having them like sit there, maybe having a water in a cup and just commenting on the 7-on-7 game. That would be fun. Or dodgeball. What? Could you dodgeball with the linemen? Kickball.
How is this so difficult for the NFL to figure out on what to do with the Pro Bowl? No one likes the Pro Bowl. No one is currently happy with the system that we have now. But I think most people agree that your accomplishments as an individual should be rewarded over the course of the season. That if you're a top running back or wide receiver, there should be some acknowledgement that you were one of the top players in the league. So I think everybody understands and appreciates the concept of what the Pro Bowl is trying to do. I think people also understand that it is impossible for you to play the NFL All-Star game in the same way that hockey does, or the same way that baseball does, or the NBA does. It just is a very different game in that way. So it is impossible for it to mirror what actually happens in the NFL. Then just have a series of really fun events and get the stars to be at these really fun events. All these NFL players tell us how fast they are. All right, we're going to do a race at the site of the Pro Bowl. The winner gets $100,000. Of all the Pro Bowlers, anybody can enter. We're going to have a race and see who the fastest dude in the league is. Tyreek, you're here. Marquise Goodwin, you're here. Let's race. Winner gets $100,000. How is this so difficult? Sure, do the 7-on-7. Make it fun. All you're trying to do is, if you're the NFL, make a 3-hour entertainment show. You do that as well as anybody. The NFL has figured out how to make the draft interesting. When the draft at its core is every 10 minutes, they read off a name. That's it. That's all the draft is. They don't do anything else. There's no game. There's no entertainment for us on television. It's the simple, with the first overall pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, University of Clemson. With analysis, and then we just repeat this 32 times. That's it. How is this so difficult for the NFL to give us a Pro Bowl alternative? Just put something on television on Sunday in between the Super Bowl, and people will watch it because you guys tell us to watch it. That's all you got to do. You don't got to do nothing else.
Herein lies the problem, and I'll admit, I was a big get rid of the Pro Bowl guy until this last year we had Mitchell Schwartz on the show, and he told me players view the Pro Bowl as a bigger deal than all pro. Now, I'm not going to argue with every NFL player because they're wrong, but they view it as a bigger deal.
But hold on, though. To be fair, what he said is, when you make the All-Pro team, you don't get to go anywhere.
Correct.
When you make the Pro Bowl team, that's what I'm saying. I think everybody wants to keep the concept of, let's go to Hawaii, let's go to Maui, let's do this really cool thing. Just find something other than a typical 11-on-11 football game.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying. Just send them somewhere and no more game. You can say, here are our best 22 players. Hell, you can have the All-Pro guys, but as a reward for the All-Pro, send them to Vegas for a weekend. Have them do a couple things. Like, remember Tyreek Hill this year, like, got the crowd going at the NHL All-Star game. Have them out and about. Make it like a fan fest with the best 22 players in the NFL, and make the All-Pro a bigger deal, because right now, the Pro Bowl is silly, and so many guys opt out that we're not seeing the best 22 players. What we're seeing is the 19th best left tackle, because the first 18 are like, yeah, my joints are sore. You're good. Go ahead. So they got to do something, but I don't know playing a game is ever going to be the answer.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we have a brand new edition of the Carrington Hypothetical Button Game. We'll play that here coming up in just a bit. But I want to tell you guys a story involving one of the most famous actors in America, and maybe the most famous American that we have. Idris Elba wanted to play Michael Jordan in a biopic. Idris Elba was on this trip. Now, I don't know how those two people, I don't know how Stringer Bell and Michael Jordan are running in the same social circles, but somehow they are. He went up to Michael Jordan and said, you know what? I'd love to play you in a movie. I want there to be a Michael Jordan biopic. And I'd love to be you. And you know what Mike said? Nah. Mike said, no thanks. Hear me and hear me good. We don't need any more Michael Jordan content. Some things, there has been the definitive piece that has been created. Let's say that you're thinking about making a movie or a TV show, or a documentary on O.J. Simpson. We got it already. We have the definitive O.J. Simpson piece, O.J. Made in America. We don't need anything else. Let's say that you're thinking about doing something on the 90s Chicago Bulls. You're like, man, I grew up, I love this team, man. Mike, Scotty, Tony Kukoc, Rodman, Phil Jackson, B.J. Armstrong, friend of the show. Will Perdue. You know what, man? I'm going to do it. I'm going to make my Jordan Bulls movie. We got it. We're good. We have the definitive piece. We don't need whatever you're thinking about doing. We don't need any Michael Jordan movies. We don't need any O.J. Simpson movies. We got them. Find a new idea. Get Tiger Woods to do his version of The Last Dance. Convince Tiger to sit down. I'm interested in that. I'm also getting to the point with LeBron. We might be at the market of LeBron stuff too. We might not need too much more LeBron content. We might be good. We might have all of it. In fact, he's just made all of it. Like, I'll just make it. I'll make a documentary about when I was in high school. I'll make little things about when I was with the Heat. I'm like, I think we got everything. I think we're good. I think we're fine.
I'm stunned. This is your take. You were the guy that every week would sit down in the office, talk to me about Winning Time, which is a biopic about the Lakers. You're telling me Stringer Bell, Heimdall couldn't play Michael Jordan and you wouldn't be locked in weekly?
No, I don't have any interest. What can he tell me that we don't already have?
I mean,
what can he do?
Winning Time was full of lies. Let's just sprinkle some lies into the Jordan story. That'd be fun. Maybe that once in high school, when he got cut from the JV team, he now had to play 1-on-5. That'd be a fun addition to the story.
There were lies in The Last Dance. I don't need any more. We're good. It's been covered. I would feel very different about Winning Time if they had given us a 10-hour Showtime Lakers documentary before we had gotten it. I'd feel very different about Winning Time. But we hadn't gotten it. Someone on the text line said, why would you want a documentary about Tiger Woods? If I got to explain that, then it's just time for me to go home for the rest of the day. I still got 2 more hours, but it's just time for me to go.
I bet people even want a Johnny Manziel 30 for 30. Despicable.
I'd love a 30 for 30 on Johnny Manziel. I've actually been sitting there and I've been thinking this. Why has no one done a 30 for 30 on the N1 mixtape tour? Like, how is this not a thing?
Good question.
I don't understand why they can't do this. I don't know why there's not one on the N1 mixtape tour. It's just sitting right there. I'm really excited for the one they're doing on American Gladiators. Like, I'm really excited for that.
They just announced they're doing one that I was excited about. Oh, the 2000 Ravens. I'm interested in that.
Okay.
I mean, their season started with turmoil in the offseason because Ray Lewis may or may not have killed someone or been aware of someone killing, and they ended the season with the Super Bowl. That's a wild ride.
I mean, I'll watch it, but I mean, I'm not. Okay. It's not a bad idea, but it's not like a great idea.
I mean, they put out some bad ideas. I mean, this is a good one.
I mean, of all the individual teams, are they even in their top 50 of teams you wanted them to do a sole documentary on? Yeah, there's a lot of other teams I would have picked.
I mean, they're not my first pick, but I'll still watch it. I'm more interested in that than I am the billiards girl.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's all right. I mean, I'll watch it, but I'm not thrilled about it. I don't think this is... They've certainly done better. They've aimed higher over there at the folks at ESPN. I'm really excited for the American Gladiators one. Someone on the text line said we need a 30 for 30 on MU and Norfolk State. See, I don't even... Why was that even necessary?
Yeah, they don't need a whole documentary on that. That's mean. We just need 40 minutes of basketball.
I haven't made one single Kansas joke in weeks. In weeks! I haven't said anything about you guys. That's how we're going to play it? Okay. I'm going to remember this. I'm going to take a mental note of what just happened here because it was unnecessary.
Are you sad you're not going to be able to boo Christian Brown this year? He might be a pro.
I hope he comes back. I really do hope he comes back.
Just to boo him?
I mean, I just think it'd be good for everybody if he comes back. It'd be great if he comes back. It'd be great for college basketball if Christian Brown decides to stay one more year at KU. I'd really appreciate it. It'd make them more interesting. I'm all for this being interesting. I mean, they're going to win with or without Christian Brown. Just be more interesting then. Be more interesting. All right, coming up, a brand new edition of the Carrington Hypothetical Button Game, 913-576-7610. You can turn one of these players into an all-pro. Would you pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Mecole Hardman? We'll take your answers next, 913-576-7610. We'll give you our answers, too. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.